It is not that unusual across the country for a ski resort to want to diversify, to find ways to make a bit of money in the off-season. The off-season for Mount Ashland this time around is the whole 365 days. The lack of snow over the winter prevented the ski area from ever opening to the public last winter. The hope for snow for next winter is not exactly a business strategy in itself. Some members of the Mount Ashland Association board are kicking ideas around for activities that would bring people to the mountain outside of ski season. Daryl Jarvis is the vice president of the Mount Ashland Association board and our guest here in the studio. Daryl, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
What was last season like, just waiting for snow?
Terrible from a board member standpoint and a skier. It adds a lot to the community and my personal life and family life in the winter. And certainly as a volunteer board member, we didn't have as much fun either. And the staff of Mount Ashland was on hold waiting. We got all geared up and ready to open. Hopefully, we always shoot for, Thanksgiving is the ideal, but early December and storms come in and then they fizzled out and then it was too warm. And it was, of course, and for staff, ultimately we ended up not hiring and laying off our year-round staff slowly. And so it was much more traumatic, obviously, for them because it was their livelihood. But it was certainly not ideal and hopefully a one-time occurrence. That was the first time in 50 years that we didn't open. So,
how big a financial hit was that?
Oh, it's hard to say, but certainly in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, we haven't completed our review yet, and I should have that information on the top of my head. But certainly, the information will be available. But hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, revenues. The biggest thing that people, a lot of people don't realize about the mountain is that even though we don't open, we have a lot of fixed expenses. I mean, staffing is one of them, but also insurance is a huge deal year-round. Like utilities, just to have the standby for electricity, even though the lifts aren't running, we pay money every month for utilities. And then there's just it's amazing the things you when you look at the financials of the fixed costs we have every month, and it's things you wouldn't think of. But of course, not having revenue, and we did have some revenue in the form of prepaid season pass sales. And as a board, we ultimately decided to grant discounts for this upcoming season, 50% off, and give the option of folks to donate their passes. Bottom line is we're in a hole, hopefully we can dig our way out of it.
What was the general response from the public? I know that if you pay for a season ski pass and you're the word is you can either donate the value to us or you get half off on next season, you're not going to get it back. I mean, there were no refunds. Did that create any problems for you with the public, or was it generally well received?
Well, certainly it created some problems with, we have a very interesting base of people that we serve. A lot of people were more than happy to donate their passes. A lot of people were angry with what we did. And I certainly understand the latter response. I mean, it's when you pay for something and you don't get it, it's not fair. And it's but from an organization standpoint, I would have loved, as a board member, and our whole board would have loved to have just given free passes for this next year, but our bigger responsibility is to ensure the financial livelihood of the organization and the ski hill, and we just couldn't do it. That was the bottom line, and hopefully we can restore some of that goodwill that we lost but it was out of our hands, and a lot of people think we should have been doing things differently and had reserves and certainly you could, in hindsight, maybe we could have done some things differently, but as an organization, we're doing the best we can. We have challenges year in, year out, even with snow. And so, our goal moving forward, we've made some changes with the mountain. Our goal moving forward is just to be more financially viable and sustainable. And that's, I think, the way we're heading, but obviously we need Mother Nature to cooperate, and hopefully we'll get back on a good track and reach a financial footing where we could take hits like this better.
How detailed have the discussions been about ways to bring in revenue that don't involve the presence of snow?
Not that detailed right now, and just by way of background for you and your listeners, we've undergone some changes within our staffing. We are currently looking for a new general manager, executive director. And we've had some other turnover. And so right now, you know, we're looking at ideas, but as a, you know, we're a volunteer board, and you know, ultimately decision or the day-to-day in looking at financial viability of certain operations, in my view at least, is something that's going to be determined by staff or new general manager. And you know, with our input, and you know, it'll be ultimately be our decision. So it has not, right now it's just in the conceptual stage. In the past, we've done weddings, and the last couple of years we've done the concessions at Howard Prairie Lake. But of course, that's taken a hit too. Howard Prairie is, I don't know what the exact percentage, but you know, with the lack of water up there, the sailboats had to be taken out, the camping revenues are less. And then the year before was fires, and so everything seems to be a seasonal or a weather-dependent business.
Yeah, you need to find a business that doesn't depend on precipitation is what it gets down to.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's not our luxury, and you know, and as a society, we need water, so hopefully things get on a more normal track, and you know, so certain things you can't control.
Absolutely. Daryl Jarvis is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the vice president of the Mount Ashland Association. We're talking about ways in which the Mount Ashland Association can get itself back on firmer footing. Obviously, last ski season completely, I can't say washed out. There was no snow, not enough snow to be able to open the mountain at any point. Join us on the Exchange with questions and comments and maybe even suggestions about ways in which the ski area should be moving into the future. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You did get, I understand, a Small Business Administration loan?
That is correct, and this was these were funds specifically earmarked for drought, and obviously we were affected by the drought, and that was a real big shot in the arm for us. You know, we've had some operational issues. You know, financially we're not where we want to be, irrespective of the weather, and you know but basically, we've been able to turn over our credit line and take this hit on loans that are on good terms. Obviously, they're going to be paid back, but it's a federally subsidized loan, and so you know we're in good shape to open next year. But our goal, once again, is to be more financially sustainable and hopefully pay that back well in advance of a date of maturity on the loan.
If you host events outside ski season, does it require the modification of the permit with the Forest Service?
No. I mean, and I should clarify, we do some events right now. For example, this weekend is a Mount Ashen Hill Climb. There's other bike events and things like that that we host up there. But there is a certain level, and I don't know the exact specifics. I think we could have some music events and things like that, but certainly, there's limits on what we can do without Forest Service approval, and you know, and ultimately, you know, one of the ideas that's being looked at right now and is the possibility of a zip line, for example. You know, and there's some level of federal review that would be necessary, and that can be very time-consuming and expensive, and ultimately, some of those things might make federal review plus appeals could make it financially and just impossible to do.
When we talk about federal reviews, do we mean things like environmental reviews?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, and when public comment, you know, there's different levels depending on what you're doing, and but certainly when there's a right to an appeal and ultimately lawsuits, those things can drag on forever. For example, or improvement project to add a new ski lift that's been in federal litigation for 10 years. And, you know, there's been two lawsuits filed. It's gone to the Federal Court of Appeals twice. And, you know, it can be financially prohibitive, basically.
At this point, you're not in a position to do the expansion because you don't have the money for that, right?
Oh, certainly no. And that's changed the goalpost there, too. We haven't scrapped the expansion or the, you know, it's not technically an expansion, I guess I should just clarify, because the 20 years ago there was an environmental review, an environmental impact statement, and approval to expand the ski area. And so what we're talking about is doing what's appealed now is just putting in the lift within the expanded area, which has already been approved, and now we're just what's been in litigation for 10 years is a site specific approval. But you're absolutely correct. At this point, even if we had the green light, we have two impediments. I mean, the financial impediment is huge, and so we need to, you know, and obviously a capital campaign or contributions could get us a long way towards that, but, you know, at this point, my focus, you know, certainly as a board member, and I think the board as a whole, is on getting our operations in order and being more financially viable for the future.
Yeah, I know from doing stories in the past about ski areas looking for warm season activities that one of the issues is, well, you give sky rides. I mean, you get these great places to look at things. But I remember hearing at that time that a lot of ski areas, the lifts are not balanced to be able to take riders going down the mountain as well. I don't know if that's an issue at Mount Ashland, if it's even a consideration.
You know, I don't know, frankly. So that could be an issue with our lifts. Our lifts are older, but I can't answer that question. So, and one of the things about running the lifts in the summer is it's expensive. And one of the ideas and one of the things a lot of ski areas have done is mountain biking, and you know, something we have not specifically looked at, but as a board member, I'd need to know that anything with significant operating expenses. I mean, I'd really want to know that this is something that's going to work. You know, particularly if there's going to be any changes on the mountain.
And I understand there's some concerns about liability insurance for people riding down steep inclines.
Certainly.
On wheeled vehicles.
Yeah, and that's an issue with no matter what we do is liability. I mentioned insurance previously, and if it's but also, you know, if you have two people running manning a lift, and they, you know, utility costs, you know, you got to look really close about how many lift tickets you're going to buy and sell.
Does your insurance work in such a way so that when the ski area is open, there's one level of premium, and when it's not, there's a much lower level?
Insurance is based on revenues. There's a certain base cost, which isn't cheap, but certainly the higher, you know, at the end of the year, there's an audit or they look at your financials, and so it is dependent on the amount of business you do. And this year was obviously low, and so I believe we're getting a refund for some of the premiums are kind of weighted on past what ridership in the past, and but it's still a significant cost. It's just to have the insurance in place is you don't get it for free just because you don't open.
You mentioned already that you're searching for a new general manager. While you're talking about ways to bring in revenue in the future, why was the old general manager let go?
Oh, it's a personnel issue that we just decided to move in a different direction, and that's. You know, Kim Clark was with us for a long time. He was a great guy. He was very passionate about the mountain. But, you know, we just felt that we needed to mutually move in a different direction.
All right. So, do you have some, you're almost to the point of bringing people in for interviews, that sort of thing?
We've been interviewing. Yeah. I think we're pretty deep into the process. And we're very happy as a board, about the level and expertise and experience of applicants we had. So, I think hopefully we're getting to the tail end of these discussions, and we'll be able to announce something soon.
This must not be the best time in the world to try to hire a general manager for a ski area, given what had happened at this very ski area this past winter, which was nothing, essentially. I mean, is that daunting to some of the people? Anybody said, you know what, I heard about you guys, forget it?
Not during the interviewing process, which fortunately, and most of these folks are gainfully employed right now. And so, you know, I just think people in the industry are, no, it's a weather dependent, just like farmers, you know, and it's just something that's part of their DNA. And so far that hasn't been a negative. And you know, we're just, you want to be hopelessly, you want to be optimistic, certainly. And if you're working in the business and myself as a board member, and, you know, I think hopefully this is just a one-time occurrence, and and we'll move forward and be a financially viable organization.
You made reference to this already too, the concept of trying not to do too much as a board, I would think, while you're trying to hire a GM, not trying to make too many decisions that would tie the hands of the next GM. So that must be an interesting balancing act, because you're trying to throw a bunch of ideas out there for ways that you can improve the financial health of the Mount Ashland Association, but at the same time trying to make sure that these are plans that are willingly and enthusiastically executed by the person who is going to be in charge.
Yeah, it's any nonprofit. This is not my first nonprofit board, and that's interesting. You get a lot of push and pull, and there's no a board is the board's function on a certain level is to hire and fire the GM and or executive director and to make policy. But what is policy is something that people can debate all day long. And so we are a more active board than we've been in the past. And you know, especially with we're basically a skeleton crew at this point. And so we're doing more than we've done in the past and on an individual level on a day to day. But But ultimately, you know, I don't want to, I mean, personally, I certainly don't want to tie the hands of the person we're bringing on, because they have their own level of expertise and we're just there to guide them. So.
Is there any paid staff at this point at all, or is it all just the board members functioning in those positions?
There are, right now we have three paid staff members. Another significant thing I didn't mention earlier is, you know, every year, whether we open or not, there's a lot of maintenance that goes on the mountain. For insurance review and otherwise, there's guys that we've had up there for years that, ensure the lifts are maintained, the grooming equipment's maintained, our lodge, maintenance and, depreciation every year. And then we have staff that's full-time staff that's working on the concessions and retail and working up in Howard Prairie. And certainly hourly staff. And we've also brought in a couple of, we had some other turnover in staff as well. And so we've brought in a couple of folks as consultants. Michael Stringer is doing some development work for us. And we've also retained Jamie Schechtman, who's affiliated with an organization called the Mountain Riders Alliance. And his organization is dedicated to basically the financial viability of small ski areas. But these folks are just consultants at this point.
All right, so the skiing didn't happen last winter, but you're hoping it will next winter. And in the meantime, making sure that you're planning for the future beyond that as well.
Absolutely.
Daryl Jarvis, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Vice President of the Mount Ashlett Association Board, talking about ways in which they could change the financial model, improve the financial income from Mount Ashlett. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.